Says, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
All right, it's 4 p.m. on Wall Street. Do you know where your money is?
Welcome to Financial Issues, where we align reality with truth. Conservative talk radio you can count on. Financial issues that you need to know.
We face a disintegrating economy, a weakened defense, and an energy policy based on the sharing of scarcity. We will simply apply to government the common sense that we all use in our daily lives.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
America. These acts of mass murder were intended to frighten our nation into chaos and retreat. But they have failed. Our country is strong. A great people has been moved to defend a great nation. Terrorist attacks can shake the foundations of our biggest buildings, but they cannot touch the foundation of America. These acts shattered steel, but they cannot dent the steel of American resolve. America was targeted for attack because we're the brightest beacon for freedom and opportunity in the world, and no one will keep that light from shining. Today, our nation saw evil, the very worst of human nature, and we responded with the best of America. Tonight, I ask for your prayers for all those who grieve, for the children whose worlds have been shattered, for all whose sense of safety and security has been threatened. And I pray they will be comforted by a power greater than any of us, spoken through the ages in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. This is a day when all Americans from every walk of life unite in our resolve for justice and peace. America has stood down enemies before, and we will do so this time. None of us will ever forget this day, yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world. Thank you, good night, and God bless America.
Well, President George W. Bush, with just a great speech that day, you see at the beginning when he was standing on that pile of rubble with his yelling through a megaphone and his arm around the fire chief, and just an incredible time, an incredible speech, and how grateful I know I was that we had a president like George Bush, a president that knew the Lord, place his trust in the Lord, and understood the resolve of the American people. And, you know, I said on Twitter this morning that, do you remember those days of 9/11? Do you remember, if you are old enough, the unity that we all felt for several days after that as well? I was in a conference in my office that morning with a number of people. The meeting was over, and I came out, and of course we had a television in our lobby because of the financial news and such. And there were people in our building and those that worked for us standing around the television. And I looked at the screen and I said, oh my word, what has gone on? And they said a plane ran into the World Trade Center. And I said, wow, what a horrible thing. And we were all thinking, and even on the news, that it was an accident, some kind of crazy accident. And then as we were sitting there watching and speaking, we saw the second plane coming in. It was a moment that so many of you, and I know I will never, never forget. The silence in the lobby there where we were watching You could have heard a pin drop. Nobody knew what to say or what to think. Maybe some murmurs of, you know, oh my God, what is going on? And it was then realized that it was a terrorist attack on our soil. And we didn't even understand then, until the first building collapsed, what the death toll was going to be. Then we hear about the Pentagon, and of course, in Pennsylvania, Somerset, those brave men and women who crashed the plane rather than go to, you know, rather than die in the Capitol building, apparently that's where that plane was headed. Just an amazing week of events. One of the things that strikes me about this day back then was church attendance immediately increased for several weeks afterwards by 30%. That's a pretty dramatic increase. People came to the realization that what if that was them? Where would they be? There was a calm. I live in Philadelphia, of course, or outside the city. And I even remember, it's not the easiest place to drive in the world. We aren't the most pleasant drivers. We're not a very merciful driver about letting somebody in or moving somebody over. It's ugly. It is just ugly. And I remember on the streets driving. And I was getting that afternoon even, getting on the Pennsylvania Turnpike from North Philly to go home. And it was just this calmness. Everybody was driving slow. People were waving people over and on and, you know, allowing people in traffic. I mean, it was, and it lasted for weeks. There was a sense of unity that if you didn't actually see the unity of the American people at work, if you didn't actually see it, you felt it. It was so obvious. It was so strong. It was so powerful. And I said this morning on Twitter, oh, if we, without the tragedy, could see that unity again, it would be hard to imagine that anybody driving, anybody in America that day could be thinking about a divisiveness of rich versus poor, of black versus white, of Hispanic versus Asian, whatever the situation. It would be hard to believe on that day and the days following that there could be any divisiveness in an American's heart about any of those meaningless, senseless, idiotic thoughts. There wouldn't be any. The thing that I will remember most about 9/11 is that. The thing I will remember most is that unity. Anyway, it is a day we are remembering and a day we give thanks that it hasn't happened since, and a day that we should be praying that God's hand of protection will be on America. We know that through whatever we think about this administration, it is a day that we should be thinking and be grateful for the strength that we have in the White House. The strength that we can feel coming from the White House, and that should give us a sense of unity. A day to remember 9/11. We will never forget. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here, and we sure appreciate it. It's hard to make that transition after that that first segment. But, you know, I hope that you will maybe replay, or maybe, I don't know. I'm guessing that we can get that first segment up today as early as we can on our social media platforms. If you want to retweet that out, you're welcome to do that. I only say that because somebody's already emailed me. Somebody already just said to me, when will that be up on YouTube? So we will. That's what made me think of it. I'm not saying it because I only care about it if you care about it. I want to get it up, though. But so we'll work on that. We are on the road. We are having some technical difficulties. We think we had a solution to our phones, but right now I'm a little concerned about going to phones right now. We'll see what happens. But let me just give you a recap of what is going on right now. So let me do that, and we'll see what happens. You're welcome to try your calls. You won't have any trouble getting in. It's just whether I'll have trouble getting you on the air. 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. You know, one of those clips that we played from George W. Bush, I had totally forgot about both of those things. And Ian got those and got those up, and I sure do appreciate that. So great stuff to start the day. All right, well, the futures on the down, the S&P suggests somewhat of a positive open, not a whole lot, but nonetheless, it looks like things are going to be positive here this morning. So markets in the Eurozone, Asia, also mostly in the green. Asia's closed, of course, but the Eurozone mostly in the green. China has reportedly announced plans to exempt certain U.S. products from the additional tariffs that they put on, not just a few products. A fair amount of products are going to be exempt from tariffs, things like certain prescriptions, cancer drugs and things that we get, and a number of other things. Livestock feed is one I know off the top of my head. Some other technology things that are going to be exempt from that. A lot of this, of course, is a show of goodwill from China that, you know, maybe gives an added optimism that it looks like October meetings in Washington with China may produce some fruit. And let's hope that is the case. China also certainly coming to the realization that they have their economy is struggling. There's no sense in trying to hide it now for the sake of saving face, because everybody is pretty aware that the data coming out of China is not completely accurate, and things are a little bit worse than we thought. Global stocks are gaining again today as they talk about the exemption of the waiver on some of these products. And we're seeing the Eurozone indices up about 0.7%. Germany and France both up. Germany's up 1%, actually. The London Stock Exchange up big time, LSE, after a potential offer to buy the LSE, London Stock Exchange, to buy it. So the Hong Kong Stock Exchange rose 16% after that news. Now, it would be one of the reasons why, and I hate to be cynical here, but China reducing and issuing some waivers. China is trying to put on the best face they possibly can. This is a huge move. And I know that everybody is talking about this private organization coming out of Hong Kong buying the London Stock Exchange. Let me make this perfectly clear. This is a communist regime province. Don't believe that China is some independent democracy, that one of their independent free market corporations are looking to buy. They dress it up like that, and they frame it as if that's the possibility and help us to think otherwise. That is not the case. this is something that would serve the communist regime very, very well. This was not an open offer from London for a buyer by any imagination. This is a come out of nowhere bid to buy the exchange. London will be taking this under serious consideration. I hope they don't consider only whether they want to sell, need to sell, or should sell. I hope they consider about who the buyer is and understand who they are selling the stock exchange to and the history of a regime that they are selling it to that has a history of deception and manipulation. And I think overall, in general, if a sale like this were to take hold and go through, that it would be extremely detrimental to markets throughout the Eurozone and the exchange in the Eurozone. So very, very interesting. This at the very same time, not to add to my cynicism, but this at the very same time that Aramco is contemplating a public stock offering, an IPO, and they want to start in the European markets, in the London market. That's where they want to start. They have apprehension about starting in the U.S. market because if it becomes a U.S. traded company, they will open themselves up to an abundance, a plethora of lawsuits as a result of all things 9/11, what we're talking about in the first segment. Right now, there have been civil lawsuits wanting to be filed against those that sponsored and financed the terrorism on 9/11. That would be Saudi Arabia. Of course, they would deny that, but there's plenty of evidence. So they've been isolated from these lawsuits. This would open them up to those lawsuits. So now we have this going on in the London Exchange, which may give them some thoughts of expediting issues on the New York Stock Exchange. Now, in my opinion, the New York Stock Exchange should give careful consideration to listing that company, particularly in light of our thoughts about today. But that's another story, I guess. So I'm bringing all of these things to light. It is a bit cynical, but it's not some sort of grounded in any kind of conspiracy theory. It's just the facts as I know them. And I am reminding everybody of these facts so that you too might realize, what could be happening here. And I think that's very, very important as we go through. The OPEC exporting countries, in its monthly report, is lowering the forecast of world oil demand for 2019 and for 2020. They're saying that the growth in OPEC for oil is going to be somewhere around 1.02 million barrels a day, citing weaker than expected data in the first half of the year. And this from various global demand centers. They also are quoting a slowing economic growth projections for the remainder of the year. It also lowered its 2020 outlook for oil demand, seeing growth of about 1.08 million barrels a day. OPEC, though, has increased its assessment of non-OPEC nation oil supplies, namely the U.S. primarily, along with Brazil and the U.K. and Australia and Canada. And they are saying growth of oil supplies of non-OPEC nations will likely be a little bit higher at 2 million barrels a day, 1.99 to be exact, 2 million barrels a day, mostly, as the report cites, on the U.S., but also includes Brazil, some China imports, UK, Australia, and Canada. So on that, we see West Texas Intermediate rising about 69 cents a barrel in early morning trading. This is optimism for our energy stocks for sure. Whether it holds or lasts, we will see. But it will be certainly, if only in the short term, will be good for our energy companies in our portfolio. You're welcome to try to queue your call up. We'll see who's going to be the first guinea pig, so to speak. And I apologize, but we are hoping that we can get to the phones. If not, hey, it's going to be another social media day. We're going to be on Facebook and our website and Twitter and so on and so forth, where you can put your questions up. We had a great day doing that yesterday. It was incredible how many questions we answered, and we love that. And look, it's a great way. It's not intentional. It's a great way for us to continue to remind everybody about all the platforms we are on. So you can view our television broadcast on financialissues.org if you want. Yes, you can view it at FISM TV, on Amazon, on Roku, on Google, on Apple TV, whatever it might be. You can view that, of course, there, as well as financialissues.org. If you view it on financialissues.org, you get an opportunity to answer questions. Ask questions. I'll do the answering. But if you want to answer some, you can give it a shot. But we will give you an opportunity there to ask questions. On the screen, there's a place on the sidebar where you can put a question up, and we'll get to those as we go. So you can do that. But our phone line, 610-363-1110. Okay, we'll be right back after this break.
Now.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. If you want to go to calls, you can queue your call up 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. If you want to queue your call up, you can do that. 610-363-1110. We think we've got it worked out. We'll go to calls. 610-363-1110. Meantime, China announced its first batch of tariff exemptions. I told you about that. 16. I didn't know the number. I see it now. 16 different types of products are going to be waived from the tariffs from China on 16 different products. So I don't have a list of those products. I know that some of them are some medical prescription drugs to battle cancer, maybe some chemo drugs and such, some feed products, livestock feed, some of that, some other feed kinds of issues and products as well. So, you know, it looks like China starting this waiver program, this is happening amid growing worries over the cost of a projected protracted trade war, which obviously they are feeling the effects of those costs. So interesting. South American companies in China, some American companies in China apparently have already started to speed up their move away from the mainland. And that's according to a new survey just out by the American Chamber of Commerce, acting and working in China, in Shanghai. So they said today, this morning, that more than 26% of the 333 companies that were surveyed that do business in China, this survey came out in June. So now we've got July, we've got August, and we're into September after this survey came out. I would strongly expect the 26% of 333 companies to be far larger than that. That could be, you know, who knows? Maybe it's up to 35% by this time. We don't know. But this is a survey done by the Chamber, American Chamber of Commerce. By the way, this June survey is an increase of 6.9 percentage points over this same time last year. American Chamber has said, noting that technology, hardware, software, and service industries had the highest level of changes in their investment destinations. So those companies, again, technology, hardware, software, and service industry are the companies most likely to be shifting their investment destination. So if they were going to spend, $500 million expanding their operations in China, they are now contemplating spending that $500 million or $1 million, whatever it might be, into other parts of Asia, into maybe Malaysia and Singapore and Vietnam and Indonesia. So the Philippines, they're beginning to think about changing those destinations. Once they go down that road of changing those investment destinations, don't count on it. This is something to be said to China. Don't count on that investment coming back. Once it moves, it is not coming back to China, because what these companies, these 333 companies, have learned and understand that it is far too volatile to be putting too many eggs in one basket. What they have learned is they are going to have to increase their diversification as far as where they do their productivity, where they do their manufacturing, where they expand. They've got to diversify to other Asia regional, Asia Pacific Rim areas to expand their operation, so that they might service Asia and bring a lot of that home to America. So once they make this decision, because of the incredible volatility that we've already seen in all of this, they are not likely to come back. I mean, they're just not. They're not going to be coming back anytime soon. They are going to diversify and stay. It doesn't mean they might not maintain some operations in China. They probably will, but they're going to drastically reduce it. This was what I had been talking about for so many months when all of this started, saying, I can't imagine. Obviously, I was wrong. I'm not wrong right now. It just took longer than I thought. But I said, there's no way that China can hold out during a trade war for very long, or even entertain the thoughts of getting into a trade war, because they cannot afford to lose market share. They can't afford to lose market share. That would be devastating for China. So the odds of them going down that road are very slim because of that. Yet they've done it anyway. So we'll see. By the way, last night, what a great time we had at West Jackson Street Baptist Church in Tupelo, West Jackson Street Baptist Church. And so grateful to the church, to the pastor, for allowing us there, and so many great people. Some people had driven 2.5, 3 hours, 4 hours, one person to that I at least talked to. I didn't talk to everybody to be there. And we had a great time, a great group of people, an opportunity to share some really important points. So it was a great time. I look forward to getting back to West Jackson Street Baptist. So anyway, our next town hall, by the way, is in Waco, Texas, coming up soon. So we're going to be in Waco, Texas. You can go to the website, financialissues.org, and get the address of where we are going to be in Waco, Texas. And you can register for that just so that we have a head count. This is another AFA-sponsored town hall meeting. And I can tell you, and anybody that was at the town hall meeting last night will give testimony to you, that this was, yes, an event sponsored by AFA, but those people weren't asked for anything for AFA, the organization. They were simply thanked by AFA for coming. I bring that up because AFA, another great network that cares deeply about benefiting their listeners in any way they can. And they believe, AFA believes, that sponsoring these town hall meetings is something that is going to benefit a group of their supporters and listeners. And they want to give back to that community of believers that has supported that ministry through so many years. And that's why they do it. Not for any other reason. Nobody was up there asking for anything. Nobody was in the back selling anything. So it truly was an amazing opportunity, and just shows the commitment from AFA to all of the people that they serve, and they're trying to give back to all of those that they serve as those people have served AFA well over the years. So again, it was a great town hall meeting, a wonderful body, church body there. It was a, you know, I often speak about the Financial Issues Church, the body of believers that tracks with us so much and so many things that we do and supports our ministry. And this was a combined church effort of the AFA Church of Believers and the Financial Issues Church, and what a blessing it was. So we sure do appreciate that, and sure I'm glad for so many of you that that were there to join us. It really was a great time. You know, it's interesting, we've been talking a lot about what has been happening in Asia, and Taiwan's ruling party said this morning that they are urging their citizens to avoid visiting Hong Kong after a person from Taiwan was detained in China on state security charges as Hong Kong's protests, you know, are beginning to escalate, it seems. So that now has added to the already very tense situation in Hong Kong. So probably wasn't the most strategic move that China could have made by detaining this Taiwanese individual that was trying to visit or go to Hong Kong. Hey, our phone lines are open, 610-363-1110, 610-363-1110. If you want to queue your call, now's the time to do it. 610-363-1110, 610-363-1110. Cue your call up. We're going to get to calls and your social media questions right after this.
I would The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It is great to be here. Phone line 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. We are going to go to calls. Let me go to David. David's calling us from Arkansas. Hey, David.
Good morning, Dan. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I think I'm getting an echo with you.
Are you? We're working on it.
I was wondering if I was the only brave one that was going to try your phones this morning.
You were the first brave one, and I appreciate it because we've been waiting to take a call so that we can start tweaking things again and seeing how we make out. So
I'll be the guinea pig.
I appreciate it.
Hey, I'm looking at my portfolio, and I started out real strong earlier in the year, about February time frame, doing the allocation model for the stock portfolio. And so as I worked on that, I got, and I'm 50, so I've got, a good number of years ahead of me. But I got too busy with the stock portfolio, and somewhere about halfway into that, I decided I needed to pursue the Timothy allocation model. So I've been selling off some of my positions through the year, and as I look at all this now, I've got about 9 positions left on some stocks that, as I've been watching, the prices on them, selling them off, and converting that to Timothy allocation. Is that, am I on the right strategy with that?
I would tell you, what sectors are those stocks you have left? What sectors are they in?
Got an industrial. I've got the IN27. I've got a couple of materials, MA35 and 36. Got a couple of consumer staples. Another material, MA43. So.
Do you have more than 50 shares in those?
No, none of them. They're all like. Probably the total of this portfolio with these 9 positions is probably about $4,500.
I wouldn't touch them anymore. I'd leave them alone.
Just let them sit there and hang out there
for the next 10 years. Really, I would just leave them alone. I wouldn't even look at it. If that's not where your focus is and you're not paying attention to it and you're making contributions on a regular basis or as regular as possible to the Timothy, that's fine. I don't think that's a bad strategy, but I think you ought to leave what you have. I think you ought to leave that alone. Number one, one thing, in 10 years from now, it's going to give you a nice little gauge from a percentage perspective. Maybe it's not a good thing because you might be sorry you didn't stay in a bigger way over there, or you might be glad you didn't. But I would at this point, would just let them go and just treat that as, that's just, that is my individual stock positions. And, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to think about it. They're good, solid companies. And we'll see how it goes through the next year, several years. And I think that would be a better scenario. In the meantime, I would focus on trying to, maintain some, as often as possible, some contributions into now the mutual fund plan.
Okay. So on the Timothy mutual funds, this may sound like a really silly question. So I've got my account with TD Ameritrade where part of it's an IRA that I pulled out of a employer account. And then my other portion is my non-qualified account that I'm going after, and that's where I'm really putting my focus, is the non-qualified money, because I've got a 401k with work, and so I really want to build up that non-qualified money. And so if I put some money in Timothy, in, say, I have a, you know, a segment in the IRA side of things of a Timothy fund, and then I'm putting new money in the same Timothy fund in the non-qualified side. Is that the right strategy to continue with?
No, because what's going to happen is you're going to get off the asset allocation model and you're going to end up very overweighted in those two funds. And I would rather you not do that. I would rather you pick one or the other. So that, because your weighting is going to be based on, should be based on the combined totals of the accounts. So it's hard when you do that and separate it, because you're not able to track really well with the allocation model, and you're going to tend to get overweighted. So what I would do, I'm not saying not include those two as a part of your asset allocation model, but I would just do them in one account or the other.
Okay, so let's say I've got TM27. Right now, I've got some money that I put in there in the IRA side. I've got some money I put in there in my traditional non-qualified money side, and I'm lumping that together and tracking it, you know, in my allocation model. Is that okay to just lump them together and add the totals and keep track of that together?
You're using the tracker?
I'm not using the tracker. I've just got a spreadsheet I'm doing myself.
Yeah, I mean, if you're keeping good track of it, and you can, you can pull up a chart every once in a while or do the math or whatever you're doing there to track it on your spreadsheet, and you're watching it closely, yeah, it's okay to do. But I just want to make sure you don't lose track of one over the other, and that you are keeping that asset allocation model. I don't care where they are. I don't care where the money is, in which account or in both accounts. I just worry the average person will end up getting overweighted on one side or the other, and I would get concerned about that. But if you feel like you got a good handle on tracking it, that's fine.
I've got a tendency to over track it.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, then I wouldn't worry about it.
You know, my question really was, because you talk about, you know, continual contributions building up, you know, if I'm doing TM27, you know, on the IRA side that I'm not adding to anymore, you know, that's not really going to grow stale. It's just going to grow and not have anything added to it.
The other one's going to outperform the one in the IRA dramatically, not just because you're adding money to it, but because that adding money is lowering, and it always does, and the history shows that, you're getting a better share value in the account that you're adding to all the time. And that's why I encourage people with mutual funds to make sure they make contributions as often as possible. So making a case that if you're going to split it, you should split the contribution as well.
Okay. I hope you have safe travels home and blessed day. Stay.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. God bless. Let me look at my clock here. Let me go to Rodney from Alabama.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Rodney.
I was at the town hall last night. God bless you for what you do, and we thank you. I'm calling today. I'm fixing to turn 50 years old. Had to completely start over life about 8 years ago. Just sort of getting back on my feet. I have a 401k through work that's got a really good match on it, so I don't want to do anything with that. But I'm wanting to do something extra on the side. I'm not a partner yet, but I'm fixing to be. I think I'm smarter by listening to you every day, but I would like to know where I need to start at.
Well, I would just, first thing to do, Rodney, is open an account up somewhere, TD Ameritrade, Fidelity.com, wherever. E-Trade. Get an account open. I would not open another qualified account. If you're maxing out your 401k or getting, you know, meeting the match and maybe even above that you're putting in, I would open up just strictly an investment account, just a joint investment account at one of those brokerages. That's number one. And then start, you know, looking at the models that you should have and start to get a feel, watch some of the videos, all of those things. It doesn't cost you anything to open the account. You don't have to put money in it. You can hold off before you start doing that. But I would get the account open and start the investing in an individual account at a brokerage. And I think that's the best thing you can do. That'll serve you really well.
Okay, like that, when I open the account, where does the money just go into the account until you want to purchase stuff?
Yes, the money goes into a money market account inside your account. So you'll have a money market account, whether you choose one or not, because that's where they hold the money in your account. So it'll go into the money market account until you start buying things, and then it comes out of the money market account as you buy things, and that's how you get started. So that's what you want to do to start out.
Thank you for what you do, and appreciate your service for the country too.
Thank you, brother, and I thank you for your encouragement. It is a blessing. Folks, if you've got to leave, I hope you have a wonderful day. We got two more hours. Phone lines are open, 610-363-1110. If you got to leave us, I hope you don't. If you do, have a great day. God bless. But a lot more financial issues, two more hours, coming up right after this break.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Thank you for joining us.